Chapter 7, Liberal and Conservative. In his second epistle, the Apostle Peter appears to bring all of this together, and Jude does the same, basing his warnings off of Peter's. Thus, as the Lord warned his disciples of false prophets, and false prophets who would be unnoticed by the ecclesia, so too did Peter and Jude. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Matthew 7, verse 15. But there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 4. Just as Christ referred to these people as trees, and perhaps even trees without fruit. Jude, who based his epistle on Peter's words, referred to the people as trees without fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Matthew 7, verse 19. These are spots in your feasts of charity. When they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the root. Jude 12. And as the Lord referred to these same people as ravening wolves, both Peter and Jude call them brute beasts. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 2 Peter 2, verse 12. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Jude 8. It would also appear as though Peter specifically referred to Christ's condemnation of those who thought that they didn't commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5, verse 28. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. 2 Peter 2, verse 14. And finally, not only does Peter call the offenders brute beasts, he calls them dogs and swine. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. 2 Peter 2, verse 22. And thus when Peter and Jude wrote their epistles, it would appear as though they saw a fulfillment of Christ's warnings about judgment and false prophets. The judging problem. Therefore, just as judging was the identifier for the false prophets about which Christ warned, it would appear that judging is also the identifier for the false prophets about which Peter warned. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. 2 Peter 2, verses 1-2. Many would follow their example, and in doing so would cause the truth to be blasphemed. Somehow their activity would fly straight in the face of what Christ stood for. And what was their example? And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Peter 2, verse 3. It was words, but what kind of words? But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise the government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. 2 Peter 2, verse 10. Likewise also, these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Jude 8. And they were speaking these words against dignities, or the Greek word G1391. Some newer translations imply that this could be a reference to angels, NIV. The ESV, however, translates this word as glorious ones, as does the NET. which could perhaps refer not just to angels, but also to the saints. Further supporting this, Peter goes on to mention angels rebuking these people. A scene on which Jude elaborates, Jude 9. And Jude's description appears to be taken from the story of Ezra, in which the leaders of the nations around as false prophets sought to be part of the ecclesial work, and yet instead spoke evil of the ecclesial members. And in the reign of Ahasuerus, in the beginning of his reign, wrote they unto him an accusation against the inhabitants of Judah and Jerusalem. Ezra 4, verse 6. And again, Peter notes their folly. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. 2 Peter 2, verse 12. Though they were railing against the ecclesia and its ways, there was so much that they didn't know, and their condemning of others and the ecclesia would simply lead people away from the truth. In emphasizing again the vocal nature of their transgression, Peter refers to these people with a very specific description. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. 2 Peter 2, verse 17. Just keep Peter's phrase, wells without water, in mind, and then consider the way that Jude refers to this same verse in Peter's epistle. These are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear, clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Jude 12. Here, Jude adds another picture. Not only are these people wells without water, but they are trees with withered fruit. With those descriptions in mind, look at the way that James describes those who misuse the tongue and curse. Does a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. James 3, verses 11 to 12. These people are fountains, same word, G4077. And trees. While James refers to cursing as bitter water and withered fruit, the idea is the same, just as Christ cursed those Jewish sects that were unfaithful to him and filled with judgment as trees without fruit, while James refers to them as trees producing different fruit. So perhaps Peter refers to those who live in judgment as wells without water, and Jude refers to them as fruitless trees. Bringing all of this together, Jude ends with the following condemnation of these people. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Jude 14-15. They spoke against God, and this kind of attitude characterized them. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Jude 16. Thinking on the Lord's words about the dogs, swine, and trees in the Sermon on the Mount, Peter and Jude explain to the readers that the time has come. The false prophets were entering into the ecclesia. They had put on sheepskin, but were ready to devour. And yet, did you notice what is strange about these legalistic people? Look again at their major problem. But chiefly, them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness, and despise the government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. 2 Peter 2 verse 10. And ye shall receive the reward of the unrighteous, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are in blemishes, supporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. 2 Peter 2 verses 13 to 14. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through such wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them who lived in error. While they promised them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. 2 Peter 2, verses 18 to 20. Jude paints the same picture. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Jude 4. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Jude 8. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Jude 18-19. These are not the characteristics that would typically describe legalism. In fact, they appear to be the exact opposite. Legalism isn't about liberty, nor is it about turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. It's about ignoring the grace of God and earning righteousness on our own. And yet, why is it that these people are called dogs and swine? Perhaps the answer is found in the fact that extremes, strangely enough, always fall into the same problems. In other words, legalism isn't just a conservative problem, just as idolatry isn't just a liberal problem. Balance. Judging is legalism. Legalism is idolatry. And both liberal and conservative struggle with these same points, and that point is crucial. Whereas those who lean more towards the liberal side of things like to call those who are more conservatives legalists, this totally misses the point, because those who are accusing their brethren in that way have judged them based off their actions, and ironically, they, the liberal brethren, as those who make judgments of character from actions, have just implicated themselves as legalists. And so, this opens up an entirely new piece of Christ's command for us. How often do we define others as liberal or conservative? And how often do we change our behavior or opinions of those people because of those labels? But that is judging. And even further, how often do we define ourselves as liberal or conservative? And perhaps we take pride in those labels. But a recognition of this point creates an entirely new way of understanding. Unless we are perfectly balanced, we will always struggle with the same issues, regardless of whether we are liberal or conservative. The same problems will plague us. We will judge. We will fall into legalism, and we will be taken by idolatry. Just think about that. Both the conservative and the liberal struggle with the same issues. Consider what Scripture says about those who live by rules, and compare that to what Peter and Jude say about those who live without restraint. Eyes full of adultery. Also see James 4, verse 4. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Matthew 5, verse 28. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. 2 Peter 2, verse 14. Covetousness. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Luke 16:14. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. 2 Peter 2, verse 3. Having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. 2 Peter 2, verse 14. Filled with the lust of the flesh. Ye ask, and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. James 4, verse 3. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. 2 Peter 2, verse 18. And so really, these two groups that so often attempt to polarize one another are quite the same. What then makes the difference for the one who is balanced? Certainly, there are a lot of things. His or her eyes aren't filled with adultery. They aren't motivated by covetousness, and they aren't compelled by the lusts of the flesh. Yet in the context of this study, the crucial piece is that they don't judge. Judgment removes one from the middle ground. It leads to extremes. And because unlike him, we aren't perfect, extremes are not what God wants from us.